My Life Now is a half-hour podcast show which regularly features reviews of new releases and all-time classics of both traditionally published and self-published books.
Tune in for special guest interviews and, of course, helpful tips to not only write your next book, but also to help market it.
My Life Now is most often referred to as a great way for authors to get quality exposure and avid readers to discover their next read.
Without further delay, here's another stimulating episode of My Life Now.
Welcome back to another episode of My Life Now. Once again, my name is Dallas here. We have another incredible guest joining us, an author,
Stefan, whatever they want to call me. That's what the new me has come out.
But Coach is the main one, right? That's what usually get called, Coach.
Life coach, recovery coach. Thanks, Dallas. I appreciate it. It's been a great connection we have here and getting my book out there and the message to the world. And I appreciate your help and inspiring others with your podcast and helping me inspire those too out there.
Yeah. And I just want to point out your background right now. So you are not in a studio. You are not in a basement. Where are you? Where are you?
My studio is in the heart, Living with Heart, like my first book. And I started doing podcasts I did a YouTube channel about 7 years ago. And I always found I had to go outside. I wanted some background. I wanted some visual, you know, to show people the beauty of life, even if it's raining or, you know, San Diego, it doesn't rain too much. But a lot of on my YouTube channel under Coach Stefan Rudolph, everybody will see going 7 years back, I was either driving, talking, or at a park, and I couldn't do it. I still do it, you know, at home sometimes. I have an RV studio, that type of thing. But I want to be out here. Carmel Mountains in North County, San Diego. When we think of San Diego, we're thinking La Jolla. That's like 45 minutes south. We're in the North County, we call it. So beautiful Carmel Mountain area.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for joining us again. I really appreciate it. And so you are a coach. And so I want to dive right into that. Like, tell us your story just to get to know you a little bit more. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah. When people think of a coach, and I even go to the high schools, I talk at the high schools and I market there. So I'm saying I'm Coach Stefan. And they think, you know, I'm a football, baseball, but I'm like, no, I'm a life coach, recovery coach, and epilepsy coach. So it's pretty unique in that area to have an area where you help people with epilepsy. Because I had epilepsy as a 16-year-old young athlete out there in the football field and lived with it my whole life. So the coaching came later in life where I was inspired upon my sobriety after brain surgery. Everything I went through, I wanted to help others. So I got my life coaching credentials, personal growth, spiritual growth, and even epilepsy. There's no credentials for that except living through it. Mm-hmm. What you go through and grow through, I say. I had left temporal lobe awake craniotomy. I still have the hair here at my age, so that's good. You can't see it, but it's a big scar there. And so I talk to epileptics around the world. It's not a profitable industry. You know, I'm doing it out of the passion of my heart because a lot of epileptics, as you may just do the math, don't have jobs. They're struggling. Mm-hmm. But one just contacted me from the Russia area. One contacted me from Italy one time, and they're all over the world and they see my story on there. So going back to your question, it's about life coaching, recovery coaching for alcohol and or relationships. Part of my book is about the 7-year shift. And I call it the 7-year itch. I call it the 7-year shift, the holy shift in life. And I help people go through their stages in life.
That's awesome. I really love that because I am personally working with that as well. Have you ever heard of Adult and Teen Challenge of David Wilkerson? This was started in the 1950s in New York City. And so I'm working in one of those ministries in Texas. And so we have 1,400
helping
around
others.
The world. I love it. I love addiction recovery through Christ. And so thank you for sharing a little bit about your story, who you are. And so what is the name of your book? If you could just tell us that, and then we'll go into that.
Yeah, I have a copy of it. I'm going to grab it here real quick. And it's called Thank You to the 1,000th Power. So the attitude of gratitude. Mm-hmm. This is in the area right here. Lake Hodges is in Escondido, just north of here. And Thank You to the 1,000th Power came up about 5 years ago. When I've been sober 11 years now, part of my story, and I've been helping others. And I started a coaching business in 2017. I was published with Les Brown in Living with Heart in my first book. He's a big speaker. And I was like really excited. I got my own office. Everything's going great. And then financial collapse. I made some bad decisions, worked with the wrong people. And I was living out of my office for 6 months. So part of it was a very rude awakening to reality. I mean, I was literally homeless, living out of the office. But then I found out Les Brown in his story says, And when he was 47 years old, he goes, I was homeless living out of my office. And he talked about this in his story. So I just kept following my passion. And that's what I'm here today to talk about is passion versus, you know, everybody's trying to get more money or more bling bling, more cars, everything. Mm-hmm. And I had it all in life. But what inspired me to go into coaching later and write this book was an attitude of gratitude and being able to say what it says here, thank your way to gratitude through the magnificent power of being thankful. That is full of thanks 1,000 times every day. And people say, you know, even during the hardest times, they go, well, how can I be thankful for this or that or being homeless? And I just came up with the idea. And my quote is turn the F-U's to thank you's.
Yeah.
So it's an upside down middle finger, you know, in life. And I just said, nope, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you, God, for this challenge. Thank you, God, for the change, for the hardship, for the reality in life that I have to face it in order to erase it. And I came up with quotes all my life, and I had thousands of quotes, and I started writing them in 2017. And I really think the universe in general, whether you say God, the universe, things, life in general, karma, you know, I had to go through it and grow through it because I had a very good life for the first 32 years. You know, I had everything. I married my high school girlfriend, had a pharmaceutical career, college degree, $1 million home in Anaheim, everything financially, but I wasn't happy. So part of my book, a big part of it is being able to, whether you have it all financially or lose it all, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, you have to have those areas, you know, those platforms to be building off of. And whether it was Tony Robbins or other speakers that said, hey, follow your passion. And I did that. And still the money struggled for many years, but it wasn't about the money. It was like, I'm stable now. I'm not like rich. I don't, it's just, everything's going to follow now and I can feel it. And it took me 5 years to write that and a lot of boundaries. So the area that I focus on in that book is use the boundaries as fuel, you know, and understand you have to learn in order to grow. A lot of what we went through in lockdown was my calling too. So that's kind of why I was writing this book in 2018, 19, off and on, 20. And when it hit 2020, what else was I going to do? Right. I was in lockdown for 2 years. It was such a blessing. I would come home from work. I still worked and everything, but I would sit there for 3 hours writing it. And it wasn't like work, though. It was just like 7 o'clock. I look up and it's 11, 10 or 11. And then I started hearing people say, you have a good voice on YouTube. You should record it. So I started recording it. And it's on Audible now. It's on Spotify. It's on different areas.
So you recorded your own book audio.
Yeah. And because awesome. I would sit there in a coffee shop one time and I found myself going, and then I was overcoming obstacles and I had to hear myself. And I felt weird because people were looking at me, rah, 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 talking to myself at a coffee shop. But I'm like, that sounds pretty good. And I started recording it, listening to it. And in 2020, I started doing my first motivational videos on my YouTube channel. So there's a lot of videos on there where the sound is horrible when I hear it now, like I just was doing it off my phone. Mm-hmm. And now I have a little studio and it sounds better. But anyways, the obstacles in life are the fuel for growth in life. Right. And don't have excuses. One of my quotes is excuse the excuses out of your life. So that's kind of what led me here to grow here.
Yeah. Yeah. I have so many questions, but one of my questions, how does someone get that just feeling or that calling to be a life coach? Because when we think of a life coach, we're like, man, they got it all figured out. They have all the secrets to life. And so where did you find yourself in that moment where you're like, yes,
well, that's
this
a great
is what
question,
I'm supposed to do.
Dallas, a lot of people don't have, okay, not a lot of people, everyone. When you say, I want to be something or be somewhere or do something, and then you sit there and think about it and you're waiting for the inspiration, it's not going to happen until you start doing it. Mm-hmm. Action. So action, it's the mind of action and the heart of passion. But guess what's in between? And one of my quotes is a mouthful of excuses. So the heart of passion says, go do it, write a book. Mm-hmm. And then the action's up here. But in between, it's like, no, you're going to fail. That's going to be stupid. Mm-hmm. It's ego versus spirit, right. Angel versus devil, you know, the good versus bad. So going back to your question, I had to write down my goals, take action on it little by little, not get frustrated. I help so many people do this by just, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? And if they say, I want to make $1 million. Okay, well, how are you going to make $1,000? How are you going to make $10,000? What is your plan? I don't know. And then they get a little frustrated and then they have to have somebody to lead the way. Again, there's prayer. What I call MAP is meditation, awareness, and prayer. Meditation was an area where I was able to cure the epilepsy through changing my outlook on life and slowing down in life. Awareness is awareness of what I eat, what I drink, who I surround myself with, prayer to God, positive thinking, map. So I started mapping a project for people in my coaching program, and whether they just need a few kind words and inspiration on a call, they call me, or they want to do a whole program, you know, I'm here for them. So it's been a journey, but I'm here to help people push forward and grow forward after lockdown, especially.
Yeah. My other question, what drives a man? What have you seen over your years?
The drive?
Yeah, the drive. What drives a man?
Well, the drive I had was not giving up and not wanting to be in a cubicle myself the rest of my life. I think that's why I come out here and do this. Yeah. I was in corporate world for over 15 years in sales. And whether it was pharmaceutical sales and the outside sales, I love being outside. I did not love selling drugs, legal drugs, but I was like doing it for the money. And I had a purpose, which was make money. But when I found my passion and I had a drive to get up, a drive to do it, I found myself not sleeping as much because I wanted to get up and work hard at it. And I heard other authors and speakers and motivational people say, oh, I get up at 4 a.m. I'm like, that's crazy. You know what I did when I was in corporate world? I would be drunk at night, hungover in the morning, and I didn't want to get up. I hated it. And I get to work and I throw up at work a lot of the times. I was a heavy alcoholic and I just was sick. And that's what made me escape. So going back to your question, the passion came from writing down my goals, writing down my inspiration, writing down who I was, what I wanted to be. It wasn't a bad thing of, you know, what I had lost, but I couldn't live in the past. The past is now past. And the present was here, but the future wasn't going to get there unless I took action here. You can't live in the past. And then I had to say, okay, I'm going to learn from it, grow from it, take action, and get there in the future. So hopefully that answers the question of, you know, finding your passion and taking action on it, not letting it just wither away and waiting for things to happen. It doesn't work that way.
So you would say that this is like the main deterrent of people achieving this is their self negative talk, keeping themselves down, excuses. Would you say it's that? What else did you see as like a practical deterrent?
Well, a lot of it was the people on the outside. It's who you surround yourself with, right? Mm-hmm. You are who you surround yourself with. So a lot of the people that in my bar and drinking career, so going back on my story, you know, very successful life. And in 2002, I was working for the top pharmaceutical company. I got a DUI that year. I was with the company 2 years. I was out partying in Sacramento, came home. It wasn't like a heavy drunk, but I was drunk, got a DUI, lost my job. And within 6 months, I lost my company car, my job. And within a year, lost my marriage and everything. The seizures returned. The high school football injury was in 88. I had a seizure in college in 92. And then I was on medication for 10 years and I was drinking the whole time though. I was, you know, like a successful functioning alcoholic. And when I got to that 2002 part and the DUI happened and my life collapsed, seizures came back full force and I was having epilepsy. So I had to be stronger than my past. I could see where suicide comes from in people. I never attempted it. I never thought about it, but sadly my suicide was one drink at a time. Mm-hmm. It was a very slow suicide that was killing me. And the way I use my story is the passion was there, but I knew my mistakes. I couldn't live in the past. It's ego again. Ego stands for edging God out. That's what Wayne Dyer taught me. And I was understanding that if I'm edging God out, he's not a part of my life. And I'm praying it's not worth it. I'm just don't know where I'm going. I'm lost. And I said at the same time, once I found my new self and I put my old self on the shelf, I called it, I didn't want to live in the past because I was going to become the past. I was just going to, you know, like, why did this happen? Why did my divorce happen? Bankruptcy, jail, DUI in 2002, DUI in 2005. I lived with my parents. I stole my stepfather's vehicle one night. I was all drunk, like 16 years old, but I was 32, double that, you know, and I totaled his Mazda. So I totaled his car one night in Petaluma, California. And I nearly killed myself. And that's where this book begins in chapter one. It literally begins with head on, you know, and that's the word because I went head on with the center median. I was in two accidents in one night, had three epileptic seizures in one day, in the same day at work, in the hospital, and then later, and then stolen vehicle, everything collapsed. That was 2005, right. 2007, brain surgery, 2008, another seizure because I started drinking, 2012, DUI, anyways, you know. It all just blew up and I didn't want to give up. Hopefully that answers the question.
And so you're saying the answer to all of these things that you're talking about is the gratitude, the positivity, living in the present, things like that. That's how we change from who we
That's
were
how
to
you
who
put
we
it in
want
the
to be.
past.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's how you put it in the
exactly.
past.
And
Okay.
even with young men these days too, my biological father was not there in my life. He was there from like the first 2 years and then later in life in my teenage years, but then never wanted me in his life. And so be it. I forgave him, but it was a very big obstacle for me to face and understand why somebody wouldn't want me there. I
Right.
found out I had three siblings that didn't know me. You know, this whole thing goes on and on. So there's a lot of anger. And one of my chapters is called The Fuel of Forgiveness. And even though in like in step 9 in AA, in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say you have to forgive others even if they're not there. So if things happened, like I screwed up my marriage and she had to, you know, hopefully forgive me. She did, of course, later, but I had to forgive. I was angry at her for what I did. And that's stupid. I was angry at my father for not being there. I was angry at the job for firing me because I was drunk. You know, all
Right.
these mistakes that I was causing, I had to face it again in order to erase it. So when I did that, I understood this is like a weight off your shoulders. You can't live in the past because this weight will bring you down. You're just thinking about things in the past and you'll never get ahead. So if that answers the question too, like, you know, pursue happiness, but also know that there's going to be obstacles along the way that are going to make it very difficult. And if you keep blaming others, again, I think it was Wayne Dyer, other authors said one finger pointed out, three fingers pointed in.
Exactly.
So he did it, she did it, he did, you know. And it's like,
Yeah.
even if they're in your life, oh, that goes back to the question. So if I'm surrounding myself with nine drunk friends, I'm bound to be the 10th one.
Yep.
If I'm surrounding myself with four or five successful friends, I want to learn from them and grow from them.
Do you have questions about your faith, Christianity, end times, or anything related to pursuing a relationship with God that need to be answered? From anywhere in the world, you can tune in to stjohn316.blogspot.com, a blog spot where writer Douglas believes no question is too hard, with various links with Bible studies, devotionals, mission support, prayer requests, and end times. You can find all the answers you are looking for as Douglas uses biblical truth to lead you in the right direction. Search stjohn316.blogspot.com today. Have you suffered from an abortion? Are you still feeling lost and lonely? Do you still feel unworthy of God's love because of a decision you made? In Jessica Colleen's newest book, A Journey of Healing, she takes an in-depth look at how one woman allowed God to heal her from an abortion emotionally and physically and expose her repeated relationship patterns. Find this book on Amazon today.
I love it. You have a lot of great one-liners. You're exactly right. Do you put these out throughout the book? Write these down throughout the
Yeah,
book?
everything. I had a whole book of quotes. I should probably write a book of quotes, but in
I think you
general,
should. I
that's
think you
what
should.
inspired me. And even when I was in high school, I was making back in before you were born even, but we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have, I actually made flyers for our parties. And I was like coming up with acronyms like Mad Dogs, which was Miller Associated Draft Drinkers of Orange Glen, because we went to Orange Glen High School. So I was always marketing. I was a great thinker, you know, and getting sales out there and marketing. And now that I'm sober, I'm using it to a productive area of health and wellness. And quotes just come to me. I put it on my phone, I record it, I write it down. And then all these quotes came into about 500 pages of this book. Now, when I wrote it, I didn't know it was going to be that much, but when they put it into a book, I guess that's way too much. So I cut a lot of it out, but a lot of it's going to be left over to implement into other books and just hopefully inspire people. Because 2020, when this happened, I said, this is my calling. I actually, again, was gratitude. I was thankful for the lockdown because I knew I was going to be able to say, now they can understand it. You can understand it. You went through a lockdown. You couldn't drive. You lost your job, maybe. You're at home. That's how epilepsy was. That's how alcoholism was.
And so you say that you have more books coming. This is not your first book, as you said earlier. This is not your first book. And so do you have an author website where we can connect with and get all of your books?
Yeah, there's two of them out right now, Living with Heart and then Thank You to the 1000th Power. It's under thankyou1000.com. And I'm sure we'll put the link
Thankyou1000.com.
on here. Yeah, thankyou1000.com. And then also under commandtoexpand.com. Command to Expand will go to the Spotify where you can download it. And it's going to be on that other website too. But you can listen to it for free, like the first chapter of it on the website, thankyou1000. And on my Facebook channel, you can follow me under Coach Stefan Rudolph, and or friend me on Stefan Rudolph and Escondido. In general, you know, going to church, helping others under Celebrate Recovery, and similar to like an AA meeting, but just to, it's almost hard to explain, and I have to use certain words, because why would you be happy and have gratitude when somebody cuts you off, for example, you know, in the traffic, and the first thing we go is, you know, we say some bad words, and then now people cut me off. I'm like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now I'm pissed off a little bit, but thank you. Yeah. Somebody cuts you off. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny. I want to develop another short book, a 28-day step to gratitude. Mm-hmm. And have these things, like when you drop something, you spill a drink, our initial reaction we're programmed into is go, oh, crap, damn it, and you're pissed off.
Now I got to clean it up. Yeah,
thank you. And you thank you for 30 seconds, and you clean it up, you're done.
Yeah.
And you don't have this anger. It's just weird. It's kind of a different way to wire yourself. Weird spells wired. There's another word for you. The letters in weird spelled wired. You have to be wired differently. It's not so weird. So,
wow. I love it. I love these one-liners. And I think you're absolutely right. I've heard it said as well that life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you react to it. And so I think you're exactly right. Just take the positive outlook on life rather than the other.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? And who wants to be around those people that are always kicking rocks, you know? Like, I want to be surrounded, like you said. I've also heard that we're the average of the five people we spend the most time around, as you're saying today. And so I want to be one of those people that are encouraging, happy, positive, you know? I love it. I love your outlook on life and what you're bringing to your clients as well as our audience today.
Yeah. Helping inspire them to be able to understand that if you've gone, a lot of people, one of my close friends went through a divorce in lockdown because they were married but had very busy lives. And when they came together for a year, it blew up.
Yeah.
And now he has like the best life. His life has changed. He got a new job, a new life. And back then I was helping him, coaching him, and saying, you got to go through it, grow through it. You know, what did you learn? And he couldn't put the past behind him a lot. So the way I help inspire people is to say, be a leader. And even if you're not going to be a teacher, a speaker, or a motivator, or anything like this, be a leader to your family, to the people around you, to your friends, and to yourself. You have to love yourself first in order to love others. So a lot of the things in AA, when I see that is, I want somebody in my life so I can feel better. I want a relationship. In AA, they say wait 2 years in sobriety for a relationship. They call it plant, pet, partner. So you get a plant after 6 months of sobriety and you take care of it. After a year, you get a pet. Maybe you get a cat and take care of it. And then after a year and a half, 2 years, you get a partner because you want to be grounded in life. Right. And a lot of the lockdown that we had affected so many people. And especially I'm speaking to the sophomores now, especially that were in seventh and eighth grade. You know, a lot of areas of puberty, development, everything was missed. So it's a huge disconnect of, you know, what other people think. And it's a lot of anxiety, right? A lot of stress going on. A lot of, what about this person, what do they think of me? What other people think about you is none of your business. So that's what Les Brown said. That's what Wayne Dyer said. Don't let the thoughts of others affect your life is what I say.
Yeah. And I think a fun way to end would just be to ask you, what are you thankful for?
That's a great question, because every day we have to be thankful for something different. I'm thankful for the freedom. I'm thankful for people like you getting out there and inspiring others and getting my message out there and getting the obstacles. And just like our mirrors say, what I quote is, the obstacles in the mirror are farther away than they appear.
Right.
So you know, when you look in that little side mirror and you see somebody passing you, but it's kind of trippy when you look at the rear view mirror, it's only 5% of your view, you know, but you're looking in the mirror on what about the past? And I saw a lot of cops in my mirror, you know, the past kept coming back. So I'm thankful for the health that I have, the wellness in overcoming epilepsy, going back to that with the gratitude. 2007 brain surgery, May 9th, 2007. I was sober just about a year, but I started drinking. And within 3 months in 2008, I got my third DUI. And May 9th in 2008, exactly to the day I checked into work furlough, it's a summer camp type thing for jail, basically. It's a camp you go to, but you don't go to jail. So I was in that in 2008. A year later, I messed up again. And every obstacle I had, I started being grateful for. And then I kept drinking, though. It was just a push and pull. I couldn't do both. But alcohol is such a hard disease when people lose control. Drugs, you know, everything that the Vicodin, the painkillers, everything that we escape from now, it's not just the drugs or alcohol to blame. It's not your ex. It's not your parents. It's what's in here. And it's really hard for people to sometimes humble yourself, and they won't. I've lost friends. They just, it's not my fault. That's what they say. This shouldn't have happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I try to tell my story a little bit, and they're like, well, that doesn't matter. And I can't change people.
Yeah. Some people
went on a little tangent there, but
No, I think it's relevant. I think it's relevant. Well, I really appreciate your time here today, Coach. Thank you so much. Anything else you would want us to take away from your book here that we didn't discuss?
Yeah, going back to some of those words, I mean, I was impatient. Life became impractical. I was imbalanced. My life was imbalanced. Everything was impossible. So I have stickers and shirts that are coming out too. And one of the stickers I love, about 6 years ago, I said, turn the impatient to I'm patient, the imbalanced to I'm balanced, the impractical to I'm practical, and the impossible to what? I'm possible. So I just put an asterisk, the same word, you put a little asterisk, I'm possible. Meaning like I have possibilities in life, for life, through life, with life, all through the light and life that I went to school up here in a Christian school called Light and Life. So God works in mysterious ways, the Holy Spirit, whatever you believe in. Some of the people don't believe out there. You got to believe in a higher power when you're in recovery. You got to believe in something out there that brings the magic and light and life back. So just stay strong. Subscribe, like, and share under Coach Stefan Rudolph on YouTube. And check out my story under thankyou1000.com. And we'll grow from there.
There we go. Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. How can we purchase the book? One more time, if you can give us the links to your two websites, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I just got it on Spotify. I had it on Audible, and Audible's kind of expensive. I haven't listened to Audible for years, but Spotify is the best way. It's under commandtoexpand.com. I bought that domain, and it goes to that link on Spotify, commandtoexpand.com, and or just Google Thank You 1000, Thank You to the 1000 Power. That's the name of the book, and you'll find it on Audible or Spotify.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This is the My Life Now podcast. Hopefully we can have you back on, Coach, for your next book.
Yeah, every year doing that, writing a book. The next book, by the way, is called Control-Alt-Delete. Reset your mind, reset your life. Yeah, and like a computer, and I'm going to have other authors on there. It's going to be a co-author book about 12 stories and 12 comebacks.
All right. Be watching for that.
Thank you for listening and supporting another episode of My Life Now.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast show and share it with a friend.
Together, we can keep the message of these books alive.
Until we turn the next page together, stay classy.